Thank you, Brother Ken, for that fine introduction. And we are so glad to follow Gospel Highlights every week. And what a great show. I get to catch part of it, and it's always a joy, Pastor Ken. You have great music on there, I'll tell you. That could be my guest, Connie, calling in. And we are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are in Clearwater, Florida at the radio station live with you right now. It's a gorgeous sunny day in Clearwater, Florida. Just a little hot, however, but it is a beautiful day. Connie, are you on with me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Connie Farmer with me today, and I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And it's always good to be on the air, isn't it, Connie? Don't we just love to do the show?
Yes. I love it.
It's been, what, over 3 years now that we've been doing this, 3.5 almost. And what a joy. It just never gets old to be able to get on the air and talk about Jesus, does it?
No, never.
Yeah, it's just something that you just like, wow, I look forward to it, you know, all week long, this opportunity. And Brother Ken just gives us a great introduction, Connie, when he's in there in the control room before we take over. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. So.
Oh, you just tuned in. Okay, well, he is. Yeah. He's always good about doing that. And it's a good time to be talking about the Lord today because he's doing so many marvelous things. He's just answering prayer. Connie, yes, don't you see it over and over again?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Just today.
Yes, just today. You know, it's just constant. Every time we turn around, there's another miracle, another blessing, you know? And even Brother Ken's over there shaking his head because he's having the same experience going on in his life, you know, that we just expect God to do it. But when he does it, sometimes we're like, oh, wow, you know, and we should just be going, well, yeah, that's God, you know, and praising him because there's times that our circumstances are so difficult. And we're going to talk about that on the show today. Of course, Connie, you never have any difficult circumstances, do you?
No.
You were supposed to be here with me live in the studio today, and you had an air conditioner blow up or something, right?
Yeah.
Plug up, leak
it
up.
It ended up being the drain line. It's all clogged up, and it's backing up. And
oh, yeah.
So.
Those are not fun times, are they? But we all go through these kind of trials and inconveniences in our lives, and we wonder, you know, how are we going to make it through? But somehow... And because you know, you know that that's kind of, you know, when I say somehow, you're always correcting me, aren't you?
Yeah. It could, things could always be worse.
Right. Right. So but somehow God comes through and it's not a somehow. We know that he's going to come through. We just don't know how he's going to do it this time. Correct?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we've just seen miracles after miracles. We've seen people healed and set free from all kinds of things. And we serve a risen Lord. We serve a God who is our healer. He's our deliverer. He is all we need, you know?
Yes, for every aspect.
Every aspect of our lives.
No matter how big, no matter how small.
Right.
That's what's hard for people to understand.
It is. Why do you think that is, Connie? Why is it hard for people to understand that sometimes?
Well, I think some of it has to do with their own self-esteem. Why would God, you know, this is something I can take care of. And self-esteem, pride, you know, it's a combination of stuff.
Right. Yeah. And that very well could be times where we just feel like, oh, I can handle this. This, you know, I don't need to bother God with this, right?
Right, right. I don't need to bother God. And actually, you know, on the way home, I was praying about the air conditioner because I don't, you know, want to spend a whole ton of money. Of course, not many people have much money these days.
Exactly.
And, you know, unless you absolutely have to.
Right.
And I had called a friend of mine whose husband has an air conditioning business, and they weren't, right available. I had to leave a message. So I'm trying to think, okay, what's the next chance? So, you know, who's the next call? And all that, and I got home, and that became more and more apparent as we were looking at things, that it was more drainage than it was. I mean, it was still blowing cold air, so
right.
I knew
yeah.
it wasn't something really major.
Right.
But still.
Yes. But it's amazing how, and so you're thanking God because it wasn't more than it was, right?
Right. He took care of it.
Right. He took care of it. Yes. And he does that. He's a wonderful, wonderful Lord. He's always there for us. And we've been seeing so many miracles at Beacon of Hope, have we not? We just moved into our new space. Do you want to give them that address? It's 3700.
Yeah, you give it. 3700
Almerton Road. Suite 206. And we're located behind some interesting places, aren't we? Right there on Almerton.
Good food.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Five Guys Burgers. Oh, can we say that on the air?
I don't know. So, but good places to eat. Well, you just did. Great places.
Well, we have to give equal opportunity, right? There's a Greek restaurant.
Right.
There's Pincheros. There's
right.
Five Guys and then something else.
Yeah, all of it right there where we are in our little plaza. Papa John's, all there right there in our plaza. So it's really cool to have all that available. But it's easy to find us right there at the corner of 3700 Almerton. And behind Burger King, there's another plug. And that's right. So we're right there. And we're just praising God for what he's done. He's just a miracle-working God, taking care of our needs and providing a beautiful new place for us to call home. And we're busy working on it right now, but it's really about done, isn't it?
Oh, it looks great, yeah.
Yeah.
Down.
Got the carpeting. Everything's coming along really good. The paint squad is, I think, almost officially done, and all
can't
the
wait to crank up the soundboard.
Oh, that's your department, and you and Julie and some others, I'm sure, will be working on that department, and so you know, it's fun to get everything into its right place, and we just thank God for the miracles of that wonderful new sanctuary that he has given us. It's just gorgeous, and what a great service we had today, Connie. So, and you
great.
Got some.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was good. You got some good music right here. Oh, and by the way, people can join us. You want to tell them our service times? And before we get into this first song?
Every Sunday at 11, except for August 1st, we're going to start at 10 o'clock because we have a guest for our grand opening of our new place.
Right.
The Canaan Band is coming.
Canaan Band.
And they were just here last month with us on the radio.
Yes. Right. Yeah, we always enjoy Mel and James and David and the gang. And, oh, they're going to be live with us at Beacon of Hope on Sunday morning, August 1st. And as you just said, 10 o'clock instead of 11 is our normal time. But we want to give them time for some songs. So we're going to have a dedication day and family dinner day. What's family dinner day at Beacon?
It's a potluck. Everybody brings in dinner.
That's right.
Dinner or parts of a dinner.
Parts of a dinner.
Make it all work and put it all together and always have tons of food.
Right.
Good food, too.
Yeah, we really do. It's exciting. First song, Who Am I by Casting Crowns. Why'd you pick this one, Connie?
We were talking about thankfulness and,
yes.
and you said something about how God, even through the storms, how God takes
exactly.
care of us.
Yes.
And you know, it's kind of along that same line. Who am I that God would come down from heaven and know my name and come down from heaven and live like we live on earth to know what we all experience?
Right.
And it just hit me.
It hit you. All
yeah.
right. Who am I? Casting Crowns.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Praise God. Who am I? We belong to God. Connie, are you still there?
Yes.
Acts chapter 27, dear listening audience. Go with me there, and Connie's going to provide some commentary here. We were in Acts 27 this morning, weren't we, Connie? All about this trip that Paul took. And the events of that trip that are documented so beautifully in Acts chapter 27 that tell us that he was actually a prisoner going to Rome, and they went by boat, which was the only way they could get there. And they were he was under the supervision of a centurion by the name of Julius. And one thing I think is important here is that God put the right person in the path for Paul to be the person that took care of him and was his guard, you know, for this whole trip. Because it could have been somebody a whole lot worse, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
It could have been somebody not humane.
Yes, yes. And instead, this person actually took good care of Paul. And it says in verse 3 of Acts 27 that Julius treated Paul most decently. He let him get off the ship and enjoy the hospitality of his friends when they got to a certain port. And but immediately in about verse 4 and 5 of Acts 27, we see that they run into bad weather. And as so often happens in our spiritual lives, from time to time, we run into bad weather, don't we, Connie? We run into storms. We run into situations in our lives that are not easy. And today we want to talk about what should our response be to these storms in our lives? What is God doing when the storms come? Does God have a purpose behind the storm? He allows the storms in our lives, but he does it for reasons that maybe some of our listening audience aren't really sure about or aware of. And what is God doing anyway? Connie, there's never been any times in your life that you have wondered what God was doing, have there?
No.
Never. Okay. All right. She's lying, folks.
I think, yes. I think in the, you know, back before I got a little bit older and a little bit wiser, yes.
Right.
You know, but I don't know that I really said,
God, what are you doing here?
Right.
It was more like, what's going on, you know?
Right. Confusion, and, yeah.
But now that I know better, I know that there's something within me that I need to change.
Okay.
Something within me that I need to grow.
Okay.
In order to have these storms or these situations happen, or something that somebody else needs to see in my response to the storms.
There you go. That's good, too. Right.
That has to happen.
Right.
And maybe sometimes, even though you feel like you weathered the storm, there
right.
may... That person, whoever it is in your life, needs to see consistent response. So, unfortunately, you have to do a couple three or four things, or maybe more storms, in order for that person to see that it's consistent.
That is very interesting that you just said that word, consistent response, because you know we don't plan these shows. We have a general idea of where we're headed, and that's it. And mm-hmm. as I was driving down the road coming to the station today and praying, I really felt very strongly about this word consistency. It just kept coming to me that God looks for our consistency, but so do others. And that's the point you're making right here, right?
Wow. Yep.
You know, they do. People look to see, are we consistent? Are we following through? Now, we see in Acts chapter 27, so hold that point because we're coming back to it, Con. We see here in Acts 27 that Paul and the ship that he was on ran into very bad weather. And it says that it was impossible to stay on course. And, you know, there's some times in our lives that it just seems like it's impossible to stay on the right course with God. We run into all kinds of bad weather. We run into storms. We run into situations that absolutely just knock us off of our focus. You know what I'm saying? And it's what happened with Paul here. And after much difficulty, I'm in about verse, let me see. I think I'm in about verse 7 or 8. After much difficulty, we finally made it to the southern coast of the island of Crete, and we docked at Good Harbor. And then he puts in parentheses, appropriate name. They docked at Good Harbor. You know, that's a good place to dock there. But isn't that cool? But it says by this time we lost a lot of time and we had passed the autumn equinox. So what happened was this first storm caused them to get off course and they lost time, you know? And there are times in our lives where some of these storms take up so much time that we get off of our focus. We get off of our concentration. We lose our intensity for God. You know what I'm talking about there? Do you want to comment on that?
Well, sometimes you don't see God in the situation at all, and you just think that he's left you.
Right.
And you tend to think, well, you know, if you're not going to hang with me, then why should I hang with you?
Right.
And you're tempted to just do your old carnal things instead of sticking with it and praising God for the storms.
Right.
And what they're going to do for you.
Exactly. And so often we don't do that. Instead, we get caught up in the storm, just like what happened with Paul in this very first storm on this trip. They got caught up in it, and it took them off course. They lost their focus, and now they've kind of missed the important time. What's the word I'm looking for? That window of time that they needed in order to get through the bad seas before it got even worse. You know what I'm saying? What's that window of opportunity?
Like before season or, yeah, window
yeah.
of opportunity.
Yeah.
Before
they
season set in.
Right. They lost their window of opportunity. You know, and there is a thing in our walk with God where there is God's opportune time, where he goes before, he sets things up, he's got it ready for you to walk through this situation at a given time and learn from it and move on. And sometimes we get so caught up in the storm, we lose our focus and we lose our timing. You know what I'm talking about there?
Yes, but, you know, don't you think that he knew you were going to do that anyway?
Yeah.
And there's probably something else that you need to learn anyway.
Right. In other words, you're saying God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that is true. Even though we get off sometimes in our own little, oh my, God says, all right, wait a minute, we can compensate for that. We can make something happen out of this. So that's what we're saying. But anyway, they went on. I'm in about Acts 27, about verse 11, 12. They went on trying to get to the next harbor. And in fact, Paul warned about this in verse 10. And he said, you know, I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship, to say nothing of our lives if we put out to sea now. And what he was saying was he was warning the ship's captain and the crew, don't be doing this right now. This isn't going to be good. And yet they didn't listen. And don't you think, Connie, so often people are warned by God about circumstances in our lives, or God says, wait a minute, I wouldn't go that way. I'd try this. And we just do our own thing, don't you think?
I think, a lot of times it's the human thing to do. We want to take control of our lives.
Right.
Because we know better.
Right.
And but yet there's all these warning signs that God tries to give us.
And sometimes
and
we don't see them.
Not paying attention.
Well, do you think maybe we're not paying attention is the best answer for that. Because there's times that it seems like we don't hear, we don't see the warnings, we don't understand. It's like the person who's driving down the road and just talking on the cell phone, not paying a bit of attention. There's a big detour sign and they go, oh, that's a nice detour sign. And they just go on gabbing on the phone, let's say. And they don't see it. Really, it doesn't really register enough for them to turn the car in the other direction. Instead, they just go straight on and they drive right into a sinkhole, let's say, because we're in Florida and we have sinkholes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, there was one on the news the other night where it gobbled up the entire car and they couldn't even find the car. It went clear down. Isn't that cool?
Crazy.
Well, it's not cool, but.
Yeah, but those people got a new car.
Hey, oh, okay. So they got a new car out of it.
Some people heard their story. Yeah,
really?
Listen to this.
Oh, no.
They would never experience this. Had the sinkhole not swallowed their car, they never would have experienced the generosity of an older couple who went to a used car lot and bought them a newer car than they ever had in their life, and a nice car with like a Volvo sedan. Safe car, right?
Wow.
And gave it to them.
Oh, my. Oh, my. That's a faith builder. We had somebody in church today that said they're believing God for a car because of their circumstances. They need a car. And so if you're listening right now, let that be a faith builder for you. Maybe a sinkhole will open up in front of your house and take your car. But anyway, I mean, isn't that interesting? But don't you think that that is the kind of thing that God does? He takes circumstances that seem so awful and turns them around for something good and to build our faith. Don't you think, Connie?
Well, just it's the same thing as me today with the air conditioner.
Right.
He did the same thing for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes. That's how God operates.
It's how he operates. Well, let's look about verse 13 and see what happened to the gentle southerly breeze that came up that caused them all to get on board the ship and say, yes, we can make it to the next port. And so here's what they tried to do, thinking it would be smooth sailing. I don't know about you, Connie, but there's been times in my life when I've thought, oh, this is the path God's leading me down. And or I didn't even think in those terms. I just thought, this looks good. I think I'll try this. Or this path seems like the right way to go. And in fact, it was a path headed straight for some type of destruction in my life. And don't you think that this happens to a lot of our listeners, that we get caught up sometimes being deluded, let's put it that way, being tricked by the devil? You know?
Absolutely.
And we think, this is a good path. I'm going to go down this path. Oh, this path looks nice. And in fact, it's the path that's headed straight towards the problem. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Were you going to comment on that?
No.
No, only that, you know, the devil can make things. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies.
Right.
And he hates our guts.
Right.
And he'll make anything look like it's fantastic.
Right.
So we do it.
Exactly.
Entice us, and, you know, sometimes we're weak, and that's the choice we make, is the weak choice instead of the right
choice. Absolutely. And it seems like the right thing to do at the time. And we see here in verse 13 of Acts 27 that a nice little wind came up. It looked good. Everything was fine. But they were no sooner out to sea than, I'm in verse 13 or 14 of Acts 27, than a gale force wind, the famous nor'easter, struck. Now, I'm not from the Northeast, and you're not either. We're from the Midwest, aren't we? But
yeah.
We've heard of nor'easters.
Had a few of them come through.
Yeah, we've had some come through here, haven't we not?
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of storms are those, nor'easters?
Bad.
Oh, yeah.
They usually brought tons of snow when I lived up north.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Me
terrible.
Too. Remember the blizzard of 77? 78? 78, actually.
Were you standing up in my crib then, but I wish.
The blizzard of 78 in Indiana and Ohio was really, really bad. And
yeah.
I remember 15 feet, I mean, in places. I remember so much snow that they didn't even know what they were going to do with it all. And actually, my doctor husband was an ER doctor and was caught at the hospital for days on end because of that blizzard, and they eventually, the National Guard brought him home on a tank.
I remember that we had these guys with four-wheel drives who went around and picked us up to take us to work.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us were lucky enough to be off the night before, and they told us to bring stuff to stay for a while.
Right.
Because we weren't coming home for a while. And I remember trying to walk out to this four-wheel drive, and the snow and the drifts were, like, hip high. And
yeah.
For me, that's pretty high.
Yeah. And it was awful, wasn't it? And that was on solid ground. You know, that's a nor'easter coming through on solid ground. Can you imagine, Connie, being on a wooden boat in the middle of the Adriatic Sea? When a nor'easter gale force winds came up, I can't even fathom that. And I mean, I boat and I swim, but that would get to me, would it you?
I think so. I think those boats were made pretty well to withstand that.
Oh, can you imagine? Really? Because at this point, mm-hmm. the boat is still together. I mean, mm-hmm. but it says here in verse 15, they lost all control of the ship and it was a cork in the storm. And I find that very interesting, and I think it's an interesting way to talk about the trials that come into our lives, that so often we lose total control, and it seems like we're just, you know, being beaten around in the middle of the storm, big time bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to come back to...
We're barely keeping our head above water.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We're going to come back to that point in a minute, but looking at verse 16... they came up to a small island, and they managed to get a lifeboat out, and then the lifeboat was hit by all these rocky places, and it prevented them from getting closer. And so one more time, they had to go back out to sea. Can you imagine? You know what that looks like to me, Connie? The roller coaster of emotions that happens in our lives when we think, oh, okay, this trial's about over. And then, woo, we go down into another episode, you know?
Yeah, or depression.
Or, yeah.
When somebody feels like they're getting better from their depression or something good happens, the light opens up, or they see, you know, the clouds open up and they get a glimpse of an answer, and then something else bad happens.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what this whole chapter 27 is all about. Paul was put through a huge trial physically, emotionally, spiritually. I cannot imagine how all of those people on that ship felt. I mean, they had to be so afraid that they were going to lose their lives, don't you think? I mean, what did
Absolutely.
They hang on to? You know, I mean, it had to be horrible, horrible. And this went on for days. This was not an hour long storm or a, you know, just a short little time. This was huge, and it went on and on and on. So we look in verse 18 that the next day they were out on the high seas again because what they thought was going to be a rescue had not happened. And they could not get close to the shore, so now they're back out. The winds, the storm has pushed them back out. And it says that the ship was badly damaged now by the storm. Now, I can imagine that had to be super, super bad for them. And it says they dumped cargo overboard. And they went on then 3 days later and they threw off all the tackle and all the provisions. And it said that it had been many days since they had seen either the sun or the stars. And the wind and the waves were battering us unmercifully. And I like this last phrase, verse 20 of Acts 27. We lost all hope of rescue. Can you picture all of that?
It's bad when you lose hope.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's usually the last thing to go.
Right. You know, you just keep hoping and thinking, okay, something's going to change. But they had lost all hope of rescue. And I find that fascinating that these people were going through this type of huge struggle, and it was just getting worse. It wasn't getting any better, you know? And there might be...
There was no sign of letting up.
No sign of letting up. And I think there might be some people listening to us today, Connie, who are going through such huge storms in their life that they can go, you know what? That reminds me of my life and my situation. Mm-hmm. And times where it seems like, God, where are you anyway? I don't feel your presence. And I think this is common. Connie, can you relate to that? Have you ever had times in your life where you felt that God just didn't seem to be hearing what you were saying, or your cries for help didn't seem to be heard?
Yeah, I don't know of ever really feeling helpless or hopeless.
Okay.
But I've, you know, felt kind of abandoned somewhat.
Right.
But not near what I know some people do go through.
Right.
And thank God for that.
But has he always been there for you, no matter how rocky the storm or how easy the storm?
Absolutely. And, you know, it may not be the answer that you want.
That's interesting.
There's an answer coming.
Right. Why do you say that it might not be the answer that you want?
Because we don't always get what we want. We don't always, it's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about what's best for us and what's in the plan, the overall plan, the big plan.
Right, right. It is. It is all about the big plan, isn't it? And, mm-hmm. you know, in this big plan for Paul, this was near the end of his life, and he had run the good race, you know, and he had fought hard, and he had been out there on a limb, so to speak, for God for years and teaching and preaching the word and going everywhere God sent him. And now he was in a situation where he himself had appealed to Caesar to be heard in court because the Jews were wanting to kill him, stone him, all those things. And the reason the Jews were so mad at him was because he was preaching that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was the risen Lord. That's why they were so mad at him. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't like he did anything like major, like kill somebody.
No.
Or, you know, at least not in this part of his life.
Well, you know, and that brings me back to the two words you said earlier in the show that were on my heart as I drove here. Consistency. Consistent response. And what makes the devil so mad is when we are consistent in our prayer life, when we are consistent in our reading the word, when we are consistent in attending church and learning what God has to say. The devil hates consistency. Can you comment on that? Because you brought it up earlier, Connie, so I'm going to bring it right back to you, and you tell me what you think about that.
Well, when we consistently read the Bible and we consistently attend a church where we learn and we're taught the Word of God and how to live our lives, and, they call the Bible the basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Basic instruction before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, right? Basic
yep.
instruction before leaving Earth. Okay, got it.
So that's our handbook.
Right.
And, you know, we study it, we learn, we do our homework,
right,
and we learn our lessons, and then we apply them in real life. And the devil doesn't like it because he'd rather be able to throw curveballs at us and get us off track and get us out of sorts and not believe in God. And, you know, he's battling God for our souls.
Exactly. Yes. And so the devil is constantly doing his little tricks and his little games, because if he can get us inconsistent, if he can get us to not fight that good fight of faith and not hang in there when the going gets tough, if he can get us like that, what happens to our faith life? What happens to our testimony? Can you comment on that?
Well, then it becomes dense in our armor, and then he can condemn us and say, remember that time when I put that, when you had that one test and trial, you sure didn't pass that one,
right,
to make us feel like we're not worthy to do the work of the kingdom.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's always out there to get us to be inconsistent, don't you think?
Absolutely.
He's always working on that. And don't you see in this journey that Paul took in Acts chapter 27, just when it looked like there was going to be a beach over there or an island where they could dock, then, you know, there was rocky, big, huge rocks. They couldn't get close. And that's how the devil does it. In so many times, it appears that your, and what people call that is your luck is changing, but it's not about luck. It is about what's going on in your life, the circumstances. And sometimes we think, oh, my luck needs to change here. Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. And then something happens again. Paul, you do not see Paul griping and complaining through any of Acts 27. You do not see him complaining.
Mm-mm.
Which don't you?
No, if anything, he's taking the high road and trying to be the teacher.
Right. Exactly. You know, and he's hanging in there. And he's somewhere in that ship. All those days, Paul was there. He did not desert the ship. He did not swim away, or he did not get rescued by a helicopter. Paul was there through this entire terrible event. Now, we gotta do this before we go to the song here, because when they lost all hope for rescue, now we're in verse 21. With our appetite for both food and life long gone, Paul took his place in our midst. Now, Paul stands up. There's no leader, obviously. The captain, nobody has really come to the front to be a leader here. So Paul stands up, and in the Message Bible, it says, don't give up. Wait a minute. I got on the wrong verse. Here's what Paul says. Friends, you really should have listened to me back in Crete. I love that. We could have avoided all this trouble and trial. But there's no need to dwell on that now. And I said this morning, that's kind of a little I told you so right there going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and he says, from now on, things are looking up. And I find that interesting because it has only gotten worse. And yet Paul says things are looking up. He says, I can assure you that there'll not be a single drowning among us, although I can't say as much for the ship. The ship itself is doomed. Now, that's very interesting to hear that, okay, the ship's going down. If you were one of those people on board, wouldn't you be just a little panicked? Oh, you're going to live, but the ship's going down, but I'm standing on the ship?
Yeah, and you're wondering in the midst of the storm, and you're wondering what's going to happen to make it go down.
Exactly. You know rough times are coming if the ship's going down, but somehow you're going to be saved through that. You know, I ask you to put this next song on for us, Connie. Ray Bolt's Thank You, Lord. And I want you to amplify on that a little bit, because I know that you practice this and I practice this thanking God in the midst of the storm. Do you think that Paul was thanking God in the midst of this terrible crisis in the middle of the Adriatic Sea, where it looked like it said we lost all hope of rescue? There was no way around this. They were going down, you know, for the count.
Well, you know, it seems like even though you're in a situation where it looks like there's no hope for rescue, no hope for anything to turn around, there is somebody there is always somebody within that group, some way, somehow, who has a spark of hope.
Exactly.
And that little spark of hope starts a fire, and then it just grows. It doesn't, you know, it takes a little bit, and it takes that one person to keep saying it, but it grows, and then it goes, and then it takes off like it's got gasoline on it.
Right.
And it's just like in the most hopeless situation, God always plants somebody that has that little teeny seed of hope.
Right.
That, if you really look at situations, there's almost always somebody, even in the worst, most horrendous thing that you can imagine happening.
Right.
I can't think of a specific example right now, but tales from, you know, horrific events
right.
that happen, there's somebody there. There's always been a believer or somebody with a little glimmer of hope that has always been there to help get people through.
So you're saying,
think of the worst plane crash or the worst car accident or something. You know, there's always been there's, you always hear the stories later about how this one person made a difference in everybody's life.
Exactly. So what you're saying is that there is just cause to thank God in the storm.
Always.
That there is just cause to thank God before we see the outcome. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that no matter how bad the storm looks, no matter how bad the situation is, we have to thank God and say, God, I know you have a purpose in this storm. I know something's going to happen here in me today. And Connie, by the way, as I'm saying this very thing, I feel very, very impressed to say that there's somebody listening right now who needs to hear this. Here's your answer. Start thanking God in the midst of this storm that you're in. It seems catastrophic. It seems horrible. It seems like you cannot get out of this one. And God is saying to you right now on the air, begin to thank God for the answer. Somebody's coming your way to bring hope and rescue. Somebody has an answer for you today, and God will direct that person to you, and it's all going to be okay. So we thank you, Lord. Right? Connie, let's listen to
it. Right.
Here it is.
I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. Pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave and That's why I'm here today.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Praise God. Wow, that is a great song. Connie, thank you for giving to the Lord like you do all the time. And to our listeners out there that give financially for this ministry, we have been so blessed in the last few weeks with this new project, and God is just doing a wonderful, wonderful thing. And thank you to every partner, every person who's been contributing, painting and cleaning, and oh, there's so much, right, Connie? All the contributions. It's just incredible. And, you know, I just want to say thank God for Paul, you know, that wrote all of the 2/3 of the New Testament. Thank God that Paul was willing to be used of God and to write all these things and these circumstances that he went through, this story of what they went through, that they put it down so we could hear it and we could be blessed by it. And wow, that's what it's all about. We learn from what other people go through, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Before we bring Carol on here, Connie, do you have a final thought here that you wanted to say about this topic before we move on?
Well, to that person who needed to hear that.
Yes.
If everything that you've done so far hasn't made any difference, then take a chance.
Amen.
Just try it.
Right. Yes.
Person or persons.
Right.
Maybe more than one person.
Amen.
But just try it.
Amen.
Then if you don't get anything, come to church. Come to our church, and we'll help you.
Yeah.
Because you can still come to our church anyway.
Amen. But God wants to move in our lives and teach us as a result of these awful things that so often we go through, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know we've all been through a lot, but Connie, you've just been such a wonderful, a strong force on this radio show now for over 3 years, and consistent you are. So God bless you, and thank you for doing your part here at
Absolutely.
Beacon Folk. So we'll move on to Carol. Thanks, Con. Talk to you later. Carol, are you there?
I'm here in beautiful Georgia.
Beautiful Georgia. Hey, boy, isn't it amazing that I can be sitting here in the radio station Clearwater, just got off the phone with Connie in Tampa, and there you are in Georgia, and we can all be on the same radio show and be giving out words of life as people tune in. And that is such a blessing, Carol. And I want to thank you also, because that Ray Bolt song just got to me. I want to thank you for all the times that you have to pinch hit or that you're a guest here on the show. You're a part of the radio team. But we just want to thank you for all your input. And all this that we've been talking about today, I know you've got words of wisdom coming up right now, don't you?
Well, I hope I have some. They're all certainly ordained and presented to me by my personal relationship with Jesus Christ
right.
and God.
Yes.
So hopefully something that is said by me today and as I interact with you will be of great importance to other people. I know that there are people listening that are lost in some ways, or their life is in a shambles, or they've lost everything, including hope. Well, the
right.
good news today is that hope exists. It exists because of the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Exactly. And don't you find it interesting in that story? Were you able to catch the first part of the show when I was talking about how that whole crew lost all hope for rescue?
Oh, yes. And I think that happens an awful lot of times in people. They bail out before they actually see what's beyond their hope.
I totally agree. But why do people do that? Why, like with Paul here, you know, it does not say in this story that anybody jumped overboard. You know, it does not say. It says, in fact, every single one made it to the end, which is a fascinating story. They all were rescued. But at this point, about mid-story, they have all lost hope of any rescue. But yet God divinely speaks to them through the mouth of Paul, and how wonderful that God sends people into our lives at just the right moment, Carol, to give us hope and instruction.
Oh, he definitely does. I have several stories that just popped into my mind about where hope was lingering for me on a branch that I couldn't quite reach.
Okay.
And I know that people have been sent into my life to bring me words of hope and
right.
and words of spiritual wisdom.
Yes.
To help me get through a situation or to get through whatever might I need to do.
Right.
Or to work into a situation where I'm trying to pass hope on to someone else. And I might not have the experience in a certain arena to do that. And all of a sudden, the wisdom of God comes through
Amen.
My ears and I'm able to
Woo.
Put it into words that hopefully offer hope to other people. I know that many times that you and I sat together in situations where people were hopeless and
yes.
said that they were. You know, sometimes I think there were moments that we looked at each other like, well, where do we go from here? And then one of us would start because we received a word of wisdom from God at that moment.
Exactly.
And then we were able to go on and make them understand the changes in their life were to be expected because they are children of God.
Amen. Amen. You're right. And we have in the counseling rooms at Beacon of Hope years back, you and I have sat and listened to some pretty sad stories and some very weird circumstances and desperate situations in people's lives. And I'm like you. There's like, after so many times of doing that, we just trust God that he's going to come through with the appropriate word of the hour that they need to hear. And I think that is exactly what Paul found himself in this situation, where they needed a word from God that everything was going to be okay, because it didn't look okay. It certainly didn't look okay.
Then
you know?
We got to the point that some of them were wanting to lower a boat down into the water. You know,
right.
the boats, ships and boats always carry in like a little dinghy or a smaller
right.
boat.
Right.
And they launch it when circumstances get very, very dire.
Right.
Well, they wanted to lower it down. And under the excuse of placing other anchors.
Right.
But their little scheme was found out.
Right. Yeah,
and
they wouldn't let them do it.
The order was given to cut the lines for the boat and let it drift away.
Yeah.
For some people, that would be a true cause of hopelessness. There goes our little dinghy. It's big, and we can see it very closely. Wow,
right.
look, it's now no bigger than our finger. There goes our hope.
Yes.
But the hope was that they would stay together
what?
And work through that storm together. and that none would be lost, because we're told there are 276, not one person was lost.
Not one person. That is an amazing story, isn't it? 276.
When you think about a nor'easter, and we know what they are in the days and times that we live in today.
Right.
And even how it affects your weather in Florida and the weather in Texas and all over the United States and over the world, the nor'easters move in, and they're wicked.
Right. Absolutely.
They are wicked.
I can't even imagine how, I mean, it says for 14 days, that's a long time, these guys were beat about on that ship. And, of course, they hadn't eaten. I imagine they were all sick at their stomachs, too, you know, and no food and anything for 14 days is a real long time of wondering when I'm going to die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, is this my moment, you know, coming up?
And I think I know very often people go through that same thing. Is this the moment I'm going to die?
Right. Yeah.
Is this when my card is going to be pulled?
Exactly.
And, you know, you get tragic news, be it a health condition or whatever. You know, some people right now are losing their jobs and their home.
Right.
Throws them into such a loss of hope that it's almost impossible to pull them out. And you're standing there holding on to them as they're slip sliding away.
Right.
You know, all that we can offer people in that situation is our faith and our knowledge in the love of Jesus Christ, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And
amen.
We have to reach down and try to pull people out of it. And for some people, it has been so desperate that they have taken their own lives.
Exactly.
But, you know, when you see hopelessness occurring around you all over the place, and you see people losing their dignity and they're losing themselves and they can't provide for their families, it's a very desperate situation.
And there might
and one thing
be, yeah.
that we can offer them, we can feed them. We can literally feed them food. And we can literally feed them the word of
Jesus Christ.
The word
of God. Absolutely. And, you know, that's interesting because there may be some people listening right now who are having these kinds of dire circumstances going on in their lives where they're not sure where the next meal's coming from, or they're not sure how they're going to survive without this job, or they're losing their home. And you're right, Carol. So many people have gone through these kinds of experiences in the last few years in our nation and around the world. And maybe you out there are one of those. And if so, take heart and get hope right now, because even though these 276 people had lost all hope of rescue, they had lost all hope of rescue from human help. Yet God came through for them.
Yes, and don't you find
that interesting?
Paul says you must eat. You've been 14 days without food. That's
right.
Paraphrasing it, but you must eat. So what did he do? He broke bread. I present to you and to people listening today that the breaking of the bread in communion with God,
when you
partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in a communion service, that is a renewing hope. And I know when I serve communion and bless the table for communion to be served, I tell people, this is a place to find your hope.
Yes.
There is hope and symbolically in this symbolic taking of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ into you.
Yes,
And if you do that in communion, as Paul has done it here,
right,
in this chapter, it is a renewing. Your body becomes sustained in a different way. Your emotional self becomes sustained in a different way. And certainly your spiritual self. As Connie had said, there's a teeny, weeny, weeny, little bit of a flicker of hope
right.
in somebody.
Yes.
And once that continues to burn, it will pass to other people. In a congregation that is full of hopelessness, for whatever the reason, maybe their doctrine isn't right, maybe their staff isn't what they say they are, or the staff is just tired, worn out, and feel they can't be of service anymore. If there's one person that will step forward and say, I have hope,
right.
the tiniest size of a mustard seed.
Right.
The rest of the congregation will begin to light their candle off that person's hope.
And that's what we've got to give today. We want to give hope to every one of you listening this day to Living the Good Life. Carol, we'll be back with you in just a moment. It's time for station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Thank you. And we are glad you are joining us for our second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, a global international ministry. But we are headquartered here in Clearwater, Florida. God is doing mighty things, Carol. And we're going to get back to our discussion about hope, and we're going to get back to our discussion about the storm and things like that in a few minutes. But I just want to say, praise reports. I mean, Carol, God is answering prayer. And maybe that'll encourage somebody out there to believe God for the miracles that they need in their lives today. You know what I'm talking about?
I surely do. And I think Beacon of Hope is, I know Beacon of Hope is filled with miracles.
Yes.
I mean, I have people up here all the time in this area, as well as in Florida and other states, that know of our connection,
yes,
and affiliation with Beacon of Hope, who call us, write us, email us, and say, this is the situation.
Right.
Would you please put it on your church line?
Yes.
Prayer line.
And
prayers
that prayer line.
Beaconofhope.com.
Oh, amen. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. And people can write any kind of request, and we have that manned, you know, all the time, and the requests come, and a prayer request is sent out with a prayer. And I don't know about you, Carol, but I know that I know that I know that God is answering these prayers that are going forward.
It really is. You know, we had declared at Beacon of Hope about 5 or 6 years ago the season of miracles.
Yes.
I think we opened up a wonderful can of worms on
right.
that day.
That's right.
Because
I think we did.
The church itself, the congregation, began to believe in the season of miracles.
Yes.
We were watching them take place in the church body, out of the church body, with people who were coming to us from other affiliations and saying, I'm not getting it over there.
Right.
I need to sit here and listen.
Yes.
And they were beginning to find hope in their own lives and miracles in their own lives taking place.
Yes.
You know, it takes one miracle that you witness or that you personally hear of that will make you believe.
Right.
I mean, there could be no greater miracle in the life of Beacon of Hope than the way that it's turned out that you've gotten this new facility. That was a godsend.
Huge.
It was His blessing.
Yes.
The faithfulness of the church and the congregation.
Right. It really is. It's just amazing. We looked this morning, Carol, and I know you're up in Georgia and you haven't physically seen it yet, but you've certainly seen some of the pictures. And what we originally got was just a brand new space, praise God, with drywall and a cement floor and a bathroom. That was it.
Yeah.
And that was it. And you saw those pictures and what that looked like. And so from there has evolved in the last 5 or 6 weeks. A beautiful sanctuary. We've built an office, a kitchen, a entry that is very nice, and brought the furniture and the things out of storage that were there for a couple years after the truck ran through our last facility. And the painting, all of the things, carpeting has been going down the last 2 days. Tomorrow's the final day. The platform will be done tomorrow. All of these miracles, God has paid the bills as we go. I was laughing this morning, Carol, and saying, you know, the carpeting wasn't paid for till last Sunday. But we didn't need it till last Sunday, because where would we have put that huge roll of carpeting?
That's right.
We would have to been gotten paint on it or whatever, because, you know, me included, I'm not really a great painter, and you should have seen the cement floor when we were done with it. But I tell you, God is right on time, and that was a point I was making this morning at Beacon. He's right on time, Carol.
He's never late. He's never early. He rescues when He gets the glory.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Sometimes we want to be rescued instantly,
right,
whatever the situation. And yet, we want it selfishly.
Yeah.
Because we want to claim some of it. We want to say, well, I made the right decision. Or, hey, I was the one that did this or that.
Right.
But when it's God that gets the glory, when
right.
we have reached the point...
Woo.
That we have almost said, don't think I can do this by myself anymore, God.
Amen.
Need your help. And we kind of go into what I call like a staccato position where we're just trusting him at that point.
Yes.
Knowing he will come through.
Yes.
We don't know the day, the time, nor the hour.
We don't know.
But at the very last moment.
There he is.
When it's time
Woo.
To take place, he's there.
Just,
he's always on time. And he always wants the glory from it. And one of the things I've learned in my lifetime and my talking to God, and I guess I've worn his ear out probably more times than he cares to count.
Right.
But I've always said when it happened, I knew, I trusted, I gave up my selfishness and my selfish attitude of being able to do things by myself.
Right.
And I put it all on you, and you came through, as you promised me you would.
That is huge, Carol, that whole concept of letting God do the work. And, you know, we're going to talk more about that on the other side of this song. But I'm glad you've joined us today for Living the Good Life. We're on till 6 o'clock. Call a friend. There's time to have somebody listen in. Great discussion, great teaching of what God is doing. And it may help you put some things together and understand some of the circumstances in your life. Sometimes he calms the storm. Here it is.
All who sail the sea of faith find out before too long how quickly blue skies can grow dark and gentle winds grow strong. And suddenly fear is like white water pounding on the soul. Still we sail on knowing that our Lord is in control. Sometimes he calls a storm with a whisper, peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he for each trial that we pass through in life. Though we're shaken, we cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold to faith, a heart of trust will always be a quiet, peaceful place.
Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. And we know that's true. And I believe that he calmed his child, Paul, on this journey in Acts 27. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, now with my guest, Carol Witcher, from Covington, Georgia. And you're up there in that beautiful Georgia territory, aren't you?
Yes, and I love it. I feel it's, I was directed here as a mission and still searching sometimes for the mission. Maybe if I quit searching, I'll really realize what it is.
Amen.
But, you know, I think part of it was to I have a very large family up here,
yes.
An extended family. And
right.
I think part of it, because my whole family is infiltrated on both sides, my paternal and maternal family, with pastors and deacons and other people who were involved in music with churches, and several of them have their own little music groups.
Right.
They travel with and play and record and stuff. And, of course, I got none of the musical ability from any of them. But I think sometimes it was to bring them a different way of looking at hope in their lives, because I view things quite differently at times than they do, all very in a spiritual realm. But my vision is different than theirs. And the way that that Scripture has fallen into my life and the things that I've been able to do through God's grace and His mercy. And I think it just, I think at times I'm a safe barometer for them,
right.
For the rest of my cousins. We've all lost our mothers and fathers, of which there were seven of my daddy's family and,
wow.
And had wives and husbands. That makes
right.
A total of 14
yeah.
Aunts and uncles that we've lost.
Right.
And we try to take their wisdom with us, and we try to grow from it. And I think part of it for me up here is to also to be the seeker of wisdom from the aunts and uncles that I did not grow up with constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to learn from them and to learn what hope was. Some of them went through some pretty trying times. You know, in the 30s and the 40s, the loss of a child was a very
oh, yeah. That happened
hard
a lot
thing.
Back
I know
then.
My
yes.
own mother lost her first child, a daughter that was born 2.5 years ahead of me.
Right.
And, you know, at those times in life when life just seems to kick you right in the
right.
face and the burdens that we carry just seem to outweigh everything good that we might face, I think it's those times that we realize that we have to have hope. And
yes.
And I believe that little tiny spark that Connie was discussing comes up into this family here. We've gone through so many things since Maxine and I have been here. We've gone through so many family situations and issues, and invariably there will be one or two or more of us that say, we have hope, we can do this.
Right.
Just like my cousin Pat, now she's home. The church, and I know
yes.
other listeners prayed
right.
for her.
Exactly.
She was on her deathbed.
On
the
her
doctor
deathbed.
Told us 2
yeah.
months ago, visit the funeral home and pick out just the right spot.
Right. And look
and
at
Pat
that.
Is home.
Praise
she's home
God.
With hospice, but she's home.
But she's home. Praise God.
And it's hope. There was not one of us that lost hope.
Well, Carol, that is a huge point you're making, because when I look at Acts 27 and see this journey that had to be so incredibly scary in the natural, yet Paul, the Apostle Paul, who knew the God of all hope, he knew the God of provision and protection, he was there at the right moment in time to influence, we know here, 275 other people on board this ship. And wow, and I want to take us back to verse 35, because Paul broke the bread, because they had grain left over. They had thrown overboard a lot of their provisions, but they still had grain. They made bread somehow, and they gave thanks to God. Paul broke the bread and gave thanks to God. And I think that is so critical here, because we have got to learn to thank God for those people in our lives that have shown us the way. You know, we played that song a little while ago, Ray Bolt's song, Thank You, Lord, for the Sunday school teacher, or for this one or for that one. And we don't know how many lives we touch, even by this radio show that's been on now for over 3 years. We don't know the lives that are helped, that are blessed. And all we can say is, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, you know?
That's
thank
it.
You, God, for giving us this opportunity, like Paul had.
You know, God puts people into our lives sometimes for just one moment.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes for a season, but
right.
always, always for a reason.
Right. Exactly.
We have to be wise enough to understand when people come into our lives for a very short period of time or for a long period of time, the impact that they have on us.
Amen.
You know, and it is not always a positive impact.
Right.
Sometimes we realize that we get in front of people who are not positive.
Right.
And I think even those people condition us to look for the better in them and the situation.
Exactly.
And we need sometimes to have a road sign put in our face that says stop.
You know, I think that so often, Carol, we do not notice these divine appointments that are in our path, you know?
I truly do.
You know, we've been having a tremendous experience with the carpet layer that God brought to us at Beacon of Hope Friday morning. And huge things are happening in his life, and I praise God for that. And I won't talk any more about that right now, except to say God brought him to Beacon of Hope, and he's blessing us by not charging, you know, what he could. And that's a blessing to us, and we're blessing him with some other things. And, you know, it's just that the people in our lives are there for a reason. And don't you think these 275 people on board the ship were in Paul's life for a reason? Don't you think their lives were forever changed after this situation?
I certainly do. And look at how many people they have influenced over in their lifetime. How many people that they could truly say, I was in a boat that was doomed for failure. I was in a boat that was going to sink.
Right.
I was in a boat where we ate nothing for 14 days.
Right.
And we survived.
Woo!
And we've grown, and we've come forward, and it was a miracle that we were there. It was a miracle that we were saved. And it's now that I can speak to you, I'm telling you the miracles. And I witnessed.
Well,
I was able to witness, as one of the 276, the results of having faith and hope in God.
Well, I totally agree with you. Verse 35 of Acts 27, Paul broke the bread, gave thanks to God. Okay, Paul didn't say, wow, this is good luck we're having here. We're having some good luck. He just gave the credit where the credit was due. And he gave thanks to God, passed it around, and they all ate heartily, 276 of us all told. With the meal finished and everyone full, the ship was further lightened by dumping the grain overboard. Now, there's been a huge step of faith that's happened. The last bit of grain, last bit of any way to make any kind of bread or anything to eat has now been thrown over the ship.
That's right.
What do you make of that?
I think oftentimes we throw, as we always say, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
That's good.
You know, I think we throw away the blessings of Jesus. We don't recognize them. If we do recognize them, we say, I don't like this. I can't use this. It's not for me.
Okay.
Instead of passing it on and becoming a blessing to someone else.
Okay. Now, in this circumstance, Carol, they dumped all this grain overboard to lighten the load to make it easier to get to land and keep the ship intact, right?
Right.
And don't you think some of them, that was a step of faith, I think, in a way, because They must have been encouraged by the bread making that took place and that they all got to eat. And it says they ate till they were full.
Mm-hmm.
And with the meal finished, they did this. They dumped the rest of the grain. They must have been believing that what God said through Paul, when God said through Paul, look, the ship's going down, but y'all are not. Y'all are going to be fine. You know, there must have been faith rising within them, Carol. There must have been faith.
It had to have been a faith because you've got one person who's glimmering over there and saying, they threw it away. That must mean we're number one, close to shore. Number two, actually being watched over by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And number three, this Paul definitely has a connection that we need to pay attention to.
Exactly.
And you know, for a long time, Luke was with him.
Well, they would have all been dead by now in the natural, in a nor'easter, in a primitive ship built 2,000 years ago in a 14-day storm. Don't you think the odds were way against them for survival?
Very far away from them. But it, yes, it says in 36, they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. And when they had eaten, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea.
Ooh.
Now, when it was the day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach
on which
they had planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Now we're talking. You've got a rudderless boat.
Okay. Now, this is even getting worse, isn't it?
It's getting really bad.
It's getting bad
because
now.
You can even take, like, your kayak.
Yeah.
If you lose your paddle.
Right.
You are really up the creek.
Yeah, but I could paddle with my hands, right?
Yes, you could.
but if the kayak is full of water, then I'm really in trouble.
You're in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And if the kayak is in water and you are now caught in a current, if it's in deep water and you're caught in a current, your little hands aren't going to be able to paddle fast enough. So what are you going to do?
Carol, it actually happened to me a couple years ago. It was awful. It was right here off of Dunedin Causeway.
Uh-huh.
And I was kayaking.
Remember.
You remember? And I was kayaking with a friend. And when we went out, it was a sunny day. And
yes.
We got across to Caladesi Island. And we went to Dog Beach. And we were on the edge of Dog Beach, and it doesn't look like it's very far to the shore over there when you're sitting over there looking.
That's right.
And we got back in the kayaks because it looked like there was a storm coming, and we got back. And you know Florida storms, Carol, how they can just come out of nowhere and bam, you know, it's all over you. You know, you're inundated. Well, that's what happened. And my friend that I was with is a few years younger than me, and several, actually. And she went on towards land because it was raining so hard, Carol, that we could not hardly see in front of us. So it was like everybody, you know, for themselves, you know.
Yep.
And she went forward, and I think a lot of it was her physical strength compared to mine. But also we had different boats, and her boat is faster and sleeker than mine. Mine's an older boat, and it's a very secure boat. It doesn't tip. But it's not as quick, you know. And so she went on, and you couldn't even hardly see where she went because it was raining so hard. Now my kayak started getting thrown up against the shore. I was making no progress. I just kept getting thrown into the rocks, which reminds me of this story. I just kept getting thrown into the rocks. Three times I got thrown into the rocks and had to get out of the boat, get back in, move away from the rocks, and start paddling again. And finally, Carol, I began to realize I'm not going to make it over there. There's no way. I am not going to make it. And I just said, God, you've got to take care of me here and give me wisdom. And finally, I felt inclined, by God, I know, to pick up my kayak and walk it up to that beach on Dog Beach and leave it and start hiking clear down the other way and go on foot all the way around, which is what I ended up doing. And I'm here today to tell you that I survived it, but it was pretty scary, you know, at the time when that was going on.
What did you do? What'd you tell me again that you did? You began to pray?
Oh, yeah. Praying. Oh boy, was I praying.
So you're saying then, if we are in a difficult situation, as we are in this day period in time,
yes,
2,000 years after the birth and death of Christ, you really are trying to say that if we pray...
Pray. You got to pray.
Bad situation.
You got to pray.
That God protects us.
You got to pray, and you got to praise God. And here's another one. You got to thank God before you see the answer. You got to do all of that, Carol. You got to pray, praise, and thank.
And guess what? What you just related is truly about the rocks and the boat and your friend going ahead. That's a metaphor for life.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's what our lives are at times. Sometimes we're going to get in deep water.
We sure are.
And sometimes we're not going to have the strength to get ourselves out of it, whether it be a catastrophic situation or an emotional situation or just a defenseless situation that we don't have the knowledge to deal with.
That's right.
So we start praising God that, number one, we are still breathing.
Amen.
And, you know, that we are thankful for what he's getting ready to do for us, and we praise him for doing it.
Amen. Hold that.
And, you know, your boat went up against the rocks.
Oh, boy, did it ever. I mean, I thought it was going to be, I mean, that speaks to the fiber of that boat. It's an acrylic fiberglass type boat. And it was not even, it was scratched, but it wasn't harmed at all.
But
you
know? It speaks also to the arms that were wrapped around you,
amen,
protecting you. Those arms they might get scratched.
Right.
And they might get beaten up a little bit, but they're never broken. And they're always around you.
Amen.
You know, they surround you with the love that is, you know, that's Jesus protecting us. It's
yes.
Him holding you strong in that day. And yet I know the person that was with you, and the faith wasn't there.
Right.
You had to know that you would get there. So what do faithless people,
right,
or people whose faith is weak, what do they do in situations? They run in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Instead of meeting it head on, thanking God for the situation, acknowledging that he's there, protecting, and giving him all praise when it's over with.
Well, absolutely. Well, it was the thing to do, though, to go to the shore. You know, I can't falter for that. But in my situation, I couldn't get there. It was all coming against me, and I could not get there. So listen to this song, Through the Fire, by Crab Family. We're going to talk some more in a minute, Carol. Through the Fire.
So many times I've questioned the certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration seems to get so out of hand. Oh, but it's then I am reminded, church, that I have never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. No, no. That's when I look at all the victories and the power of God starts rising up in me. And it's through the fire it's made strong. Oh, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said there would always come in time. And just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, yes, and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I trust the mighty
come in time. Carol, are you there?
Yeah,
wow.
I'm just looking at something.
Woo.
I have a wonderful book in my library, and it's called Windows of Hope.
Yes, yes.
And Wolfgang von Goethe has written this.
Yeah.
Sometimes our fate resembles a fruit tree in winter. Who would think that those branches would turn green again and blossom?
Right.
But we hope it. We know it. You know,
amen.
Sometimes winter can be so bleak in different parts of the
right.
world.
Right, yes.
And it just seems like all hope is gone for anything. A bright, sunny day, a moment with no snow, a moment with no tumultuous rain, or whatever the situation might be. And yet you look forward to spring. I look forward to spring so much every year. Because out of the bleakness of winter, the first flower that pops the ground renews my faith that Jesus Christ truly is alive.
Ooh, amen.
Out of the darkness of winter and the turmoil that goes with it, he is faithful in his coming to us each and every single day.
And
that first flower
yes.
that pops the ground, or the first little leaf bud I see on one of my trees, I rejoice because I know that Jesus Christ is indeed alive.
Amen. Amen. Woo.
And there have been times in my life when the winter has been so bad, or maybe it's just a dark period of my life.
Yes.
That it's so dark and so bleak looking.
Right.
And I actually get out and walk my yard to find something new or something different. Maybe it's a new baby bird that's hatched, or perhaps it's a wave from a friend that you haven't seen in a long time. You know, I find so much hope in the world when I realize that every year God renews the world.
Yes, he does. And no matter how difficult our circumstances seem, like right now today, you can't see us on the video cam, right, Bill? There's a problem going on today. But you know what? You can still hear the word of God. You can still hear God. And there are times you may not see your circumstances change right in front of your eyes. You may not see it for a while. You may be sitting there going, I don't understand what's happening here, God, because it doesn't seem like anything is changing. But you can still hear God's voice, just like today on this broadcast. Even though you can't see us because there's a technical problem, you can hear, and you can hear God's voice in your life. And Carol, it's listening to God. Don't you think that Paul on that ship for at least 2 weeks really had some wonderful times of listening and talking to God, even though he didn't see his circumstances changing right away?
I'm sure that he did. And in speaking about the situation today with no video,
right?
Maybe this was the day there shouldn't be video. Maybe this was the day that someone would have been distracted because of the video. But now they can't see what you look like, and they certainly don't know what my white hair looks like.
Right. There you go.
Hearing it, and they're listening through the darkness, if you will.
Right.
To hear the bright spots and the hope that's being brought to them with a little flicker of faith. And
amen.
Maybe
yeah.
That's why it's that way today, that somebody that really needed to concentrate on the word and hearing the word, maybe their eyes are closed because they can't see it, and maybe they're just sitting there listening and saying, I see a sunshine coming in the darkness, and it's an S-O-N-shine.
You know what? I agree with that, because I made a point this morning in my sermon at Beacon of Hope to say that we have got to see with the eyes of faith. You know, and so often we just believe it. You know, the old saying, well, I'll believe it if I see it, you know. And
yep.
God says, you know what? It's just the opposite. You need to believe it before you see it, and you need to see it with the eyes of faith as if it's already happened. I've got to tell you, Carol, last Sunday morning, God instructed me to get the vacuum sweeper we have, or did have. It died yesterday, but the vacuum sweeper, and to take it up front to the platform. Now, people thought I was just plain crazy, because here I was, I walked up with a vacuum sweeper in my hand, okay? It's not something you normally see a pastor doing. And I said, you know what? God told me to do this because we're going to believe God right now for the carpet on this floor that's going to need this vacuum sweeper. Little did I know we should have believed God for a vacuum sweeper, too, because that one was just about ready to go and blow up, which it did yesterday. But... it was a visual right there, and I said, I want you to see it with the eyes of your faith. I want you to see carpeting on this floor all over this entire building. I want you to see the carpeting. We don't have any way to pay for it right now, but we're going to believe God for that carpeting. Within 3 hours, I got the word from somebody in the ministry that the carpeting was coming, and it was entirely paid for, Carol. Now, that was by seeing it with the eyes of faith before we ever saw it, if you know what I'm saying.
And it was you having the faithfulness in your heart to know that the reason you picked up that vacuum cleaner at the moment, you didn't understand it, and you probably thought, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You knew that you were being given a message.
Yeah, exactly.
And that message, sometimes we have to put visuals in front of people.
Right.
They have to take, you know, all their five senses. They have to taste it, touch it, feel it, smell it, and hear it in order to understand that it is a message.
Right.
You know, it's a message coming to them. Langston Hughes, you know, who was a black poet in the United States and a gay man, wrote this, and it says, hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly.
Ooh.
You had a broken-winged bird up there.
Mm-hmm.
You had no carpet in the church.
Right.
A broken-winged bird. And you held fast to your dreams, and the congregation held fast, and someone was touched, and someone was blessed.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I said, well, if we have to paint the cement floor, then we'll do that. And three or four people spoke up, one in particular that I remember, and I won't call her by name. And she says, oh, no, 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 no. We're not settling for that. We're going to have carpet on this floor. And I said, you know what? You're right. God does not want us to settle. God really blessed us through Lowe's and gave us a discount and all kinds of things happened. And the right carpet presented itself after looking at a lot of places. The right thing happened. And, you know, we so often are willing to settle for not God's best, but just because we just think, well, you know, I can't be blessed, I guess. I can't have this healing in my body. I guess I just have to be sick. I guess this is what God's got for me. You know, I guess this sickness is from God. And it's not. Sickness is not from God, nor are all these disasters in our lives. But God uses them for his glory. That's my point.
Yes, he does. You know, he never wants us to settle for second best or third best or whatever. I mean, he sent what he had. You know, God sent what he had to us, and it wasn't second best.
It was not.
His only son. He sent the son that would hear the Father's voice and do the Father's work.
Exactly.
And we don't have to settle for anything less than best.
Well, you know, Carol, how much I love the beach.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Acts 27:38, at daybreak, after they broke bread and they all ate and their tummies were full, no one recognized the land. But then they saw a bay with a nice beach. Wow. And they decided to try to run the ship up on the beach. And you just read this and what happened. And then the ship starts to break up and they didn't even make it. After they saw it, it was like in sight and they did not make it. And then you have one last huge trauma. The soldiers decided to kill all the prisoners so they wouldn't escape. Well, one of those prisoners was named Paul. He would have been killed if that centurion, that person that was put in Paul's path by God to be his protector, the centurion Julius from chapter 27, verse 1, that guy intervened. And all of the prisoners were saved, and he gave orders for anyone who could swim to dive in and go for it, and for the rest to grab a plank of wood. And the last sentence of Acts 27 says, everyone made it to shore safely. And then I want to add this, just as God had said.
That's right. And you know, it says in this one little book that I'm looking at right here, and it says, when all hope was gone,
yeah.
When it was all gone,
right.
God, who 2 years before, back in Jerusalem, had told Paul he would see him to Rome, and
that's
that
right.
was verse 23:11.
Yes.
Now again appears to Paul to assure
mm-hmm.
him he will make good his word,
27:24,
and he did.
And he did, because Paul had appealed to Caesar, which meant he had to go to Rome.
Yep.
And the devil, how interesting, the devil tried to kill Paul so that God's word would not be fulfilled in Paul's life. Do you see that, Carol?
Yes. And doesn't he try to do that to us?
All the time. He tries to continually accuse God to us and say, you know, God didn't really mean that when he promised you that blessing, or God's not really going to come through. I mean, it's just like that little wave of unbelief that crossed over to me, and I thought, well, we can make do with cement floors. And then a couple people just rise up and go, no, no, we're having carpet.
You know, praise God for those people, because
yes.
you've taught them well.
Yes. And they said, no, we're having carpet.
On the line, they got the message.
Yeah, they did.
Telling them Wednesdays and Sundays that God wants the best for them as his followers.
Yes.
It sunk in. And they were able to stand in the teacher's face and say to the teacher, have faith.
That's right.
We want the best.
And I immediately repented and said, you are right. I'm sorry. We are believing God for carpet.
That's right.
And then just a couple days later, God told me to pick up the vacuum sweeper and take it up front, you know, before the service. So, again, this is what God is doing. He allows these trials and storms and problems in our lives, but he does it so that he gets the glory, so that
always.
He teaches us that he is faithful to his word.
Always. And he wants us to know that. And that's why I think sometimes he arrives at the very last moment.
Yeah.
If we retain our faithfulness, are we still going to, you know, I say to people sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, I believe God will do that. I don't believe God will do anything. I know he'll do it.
Amen.
And there's a difference to me. Believing means I have a shadow of a doubt there.
Yeah.
I don't have a shadow of a doubt about God and Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, I read Scripture. I follow Scripture. I read everything else I can possibly read. I try to read all the scholars, biblical scholars. I study constantly. And I have never found it to be a doubting Thomas that gets through in life.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's like when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I told you, I had my 15-minute pity party sitting out in front of a bookstore, Barnes & Noble. And I sat there, had my 15-minute pity party, and as we got home and the next day, I was walking down to get my mail, and a thought occurred to me, why have I not asked God why me?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, silly goose. It should be, why not me? Why
yeah.
not you, Carol? You're equipped to handle it.
Yeah.
Your partner is equipped to handle it.
Right.
You know, you both walk in faith.
Did God heal your body?
Evidently, yes. And I went to my doctor, so I have to go, you know, every 6 months for 5 years. So when I went to my oncologist, she looked at me. She said, you look so good. And I said, well, thank you. She said, your cheeks are rosy and your nails are pink and you've got hair again. And
yeah.
I said, yeah. And she said, and the good news is, and I said, what? And she said, you're healed.
Woo!
I said, I know that before you told me.
Praise God. Carol.
She looked at me kind of funny and hit me on the leg. She said, I know you did, but I wanted to tell you anyway.
Wow. Carol, I'm going to play one of your favorite songs now and one of mine by Terry McCallum, which we love him.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to sing this one at Beacon of Hope when we had our piano player, Nathan.
Yeah.
You're my glory and the lifter of my head.
I'm telling you, doesn't it just make you have chill bumps?
Here we go.
All we want to see. You're my glory, you're my glory, Lord, and the lifter of my head. For thou, Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. You're my glory.
Praise God. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Still one of my favorite songs, Carol, after all these years. He is the one who lifts us up when we're in the midst of a trial. And you know he did that to Paul out on the high seas. He was his glory and the lifter of his head. And that comes from Psalm 3 that David wrote when David was in a real big mess himself. And he wrote this, "You're my glory and the lifter of my head." Woo! What's that do to you, girl?
It just makes me know that I am one of his, and that indeed he does know.
Amen.
And he watches out for me, and he's my strength and my glory.
Yes.
And he causes me to laugh in the face of fear.
Yes. Amen.
You know, I know without a shadow of a doubt,
yes,
that God has raised me again to his heights that he wants me to continue to seek. He raised me from the hells of cancer.
Amen.
It could have been very demeaning, and it could have been, that was stage 3, it could have been death for me.
Yes, it could have been.
But in a way it was. It was the death of a non-belief, maybe.
Yeah.
And it rose, you know, I rose because I realized I can get through this. He's here with me. He hasn't said, "Carol, you're dead."
Woo!
And
amen.
When the doctors told me, he said, why are you so strong in what you believe to be your healing? And
right.
I said, I haven't been declared dead. I said, God has not told me I'm dying.
Right.
I said, I know him well enough to know that Jesus would come to me and say, "My child, it's time for you to come home."
Right.
And we're going to do this together. You will have days and moments of distress and despair, but lean on me always.
But that's not what happened.
My faith in God is such that when my time comes, he will let me know.
Exactly. And you know, Carol, through these hard times in our lives where we wonder if we're going to live or die, where we wonder if our vision, like I mentioned this morning at the end of the service, that there have been times, especially in the last 2 years with Beacon of Hope, that I've had opportunities to quit. You know, I've had so many hard things happen in the last, 3 years, maybe 4, that there's been opportunities, and you've walked through those with me, Carol, and you've been there to encourage me, and you have seen how just words of encouragement, and so often you referred me to that very song, "You're my glory, God, and the lifter of my head." And I believe this is what happened to Paul on the high seas. I believe this is what happened to David when he was discouraged. I believe this is what happened to all these disciples as they walked this walk upon this earth, that there were times of discouragement, defeat, and hopelessness, yet God always came through. And that's the message of this show today. God will come through for you.
And it's also, I think, the message of people listening who are in despair in their lives, and they've reached the end of their rope for hope.
Exactly.
And that is to continue to believe and
amen.
Know, and to pick up the phone and call Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Yes.
Or to go online at the web. Maxine so beautifully takes care of our website.
It's gorgeous.
At beaconofhopeministries.com, or write a note to Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com, or to go online to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
There is hope there. That's why it's called Beacon of Hope.
Amen. Amen.
And we touch and we try to allow somebody who comes in broken and missing so much of their life, that we reach out and we touch them with the word of Jesus Christ. You can't read the book of Psalms. I'm reading this because I thought this was very poignant. You cannot read the book of Psalms without sensing the deep cloud of emotional gloom experienced at times even by King David.
Exactly.
This man after God's own heart. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And that's Psalm 43:5.
Yes.
But David knew the right answer in those dark times. First, he honestly admitted his feelings to God.
Right.
Second, he reestablished his confidence in God.
Amen. Amen.
Third, he determined to praise God.
Those
are the things that you have just spoken.
Exactly.
I will praise him, my Savior and my God. And this 3-stage antidote for despair is still there to cure all the emotional ills of today.
Amen. Good stuff. And that's the answer, Carol. We've got to learn to praise him. We've got to get a hold of ourselves and say, wait a minute. I can go down with the ship. You know, like Paul may have thought at one point, you know, we can all go down, or I can believe what God said to me, that nobody's going to die, but the ship is going to be all broken up. And that is exactly what happened, because Paul chose to believe that God told him the truth.
And he does. I've never known of any person in my lifetime that could ever tell me in truth and faith that God had ever let them down.
Right. Amen.
There
he doesn't.
There is no place in recorded history that has happened.
But people get fed the lies from the devil, and they begin to think that, okay, this hasn't worked out the way I wanted it to work out. So God abandoned me. God left me. What do you have to say to that, Carol?
He never leaves you nor forsakes you.
Amen. Amen.
Always there with you. He's always there to guard, guide, and protect. We have to be the ones to open up and say, I need it. When you're hungry, what do you ask for? You ask for food. When you're thirsty, you ask for water.
Yes.
When you're sick, you ask for help.
Amen.
And medicine. And when your spirit is grieved, reach out and say, God, I need you.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know how to get to you because I've walked away so many times. I haven't heard your voice when you've spoken to me. I've ignored you. But, God, I need you. And
exactly.
Now I'm willing to submit and surrender all. I love that song, I Surrender All.
Yes.
Because it says to me, I am not able to carry on the things in my life over which I have no control.
Right.
I surrender everything I have, Lord, to you.
Exactly.
All of my fears, all of my anxieties, all of my hopelessness. I surrender it all to you, and I'm going to leave it at the altar today.
Amen.
And I'm going to go back to my seat in the congregation, knowing that you have uplifted me.
Ooh, amen. And that's the answer. We have got to put that kind of trust in God that no matter what storm we're in, no matter how bad the seas are, no matter how difficult it looks, and maybe it looks like we're going down for the last count, God wants to come and intervene in your circumstances. You just cry out to him and surrender to him, just like Carol just said. You put yourself in agreement with what God's word says about you. God's word says you're healed. God's word says he has provided for you. God's word said he gives you protection, safety, deliverance, all the things that you need right this moment, dear friend.
And the world is such that we are in great turmoil in our world.
Right.
Things are happening as predicted in the book of Revelation and predicted all through Scripture. And those that have eyes and those to hear and see and ears to hear and see,
amen,
have also got the wisdom right in their fingertips,
right,
in Scripture to know how to deal with today's problems.
Right.
You don't deal today's problems with a gun, a knife, or any way to injure other people. You deal with today's problems by falling on your knees and saying, Lord, I need to know where I stand. I need to know what my covenant with you is.
Exactly.
Is it strong enough from me to you to get me through? I know it's strong enough from you to me to carry me. And Lord, I ask your protection on me and my home and my family.
Amen.
And so forth and so on. And as you begin to pray more and more each day, you will find more and more reasons to give thanks each day.
Amen. Amen. Yes, you will.
And you will find that you are mentioning people in prayer that you don't know necessarily, but the situation you have seen, you've heard, you realize that you have the power to bring somebody's name to the ears of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's what it's all about. We need to be the connection, the conduit from that person to God. And, you know, Carol, we do this radio show as a step of faith. I mean, actually, week by week, it's by faith and God provides. And yet, after all these 3.5 years, we have never seen God fail us. We have never not been able to pay the bill. God has always provided. And so those that are listening out there right now that need financial blessing, that need a touch from God in their finances, just hear this. God wants to provide for you. Reach out to him. Start believing for your miracle because God wants to do it. Carol, final thought. We're just about ready to get to the end here.
Final thought is you don't have to be alone in any of your circumstances or situations. You have to reach out. You be the one to reach out and touch the hand of Jesus. It's extended to you. It's the simplest thing, and it quells your fear, and it gives you hope, and it gives you a sense of love and being. Jesus loves us so much.
Exactly.
And God loves us. He sent his son to intercede for us, to be the ears and the voice that we need when we can't even whisper his name.
Amen. That is what he needs to be for us. Woo, hallelujah. Carol, you're always a blessing. Thanks for pinch hitting today for Deb, who's very ill. So we speak healing to her right now over there in Texas. And Lord, we just thank you for this great show and everything that you've done today. You get the glory and the praise. And Lord, let these truths get down into our listeners' ears. In the name of Jesus, amen. And thank you, Carol. God bless you. I'll do the wrap up here and go enjoy your Georgia dinner, okay?
Well, I'll talk to you when the show's over. If you have a chance, give me a call.
I will do it. And
alrighty.
All right. For those of you right now that need more of God and aren't sure where you need to go to hear, we are blessed, so blessed now by this radio station that the show that you have just heard and every show that we have done this year in 2010 is on our website. This show that you've just heard will be on our website tomorrow. And that is beaconofhopeministries.com. So go there and you listen to these. You can listen in the middle of the night when you got your pajamas on. And if you need a word of encouragement, go to beaconofhopeministries.com and listen to the past shows. There's some great ones. God bless you. And we welcome you to our services in the Tampa Bay, Clearwater area, 3700 Almerton. Again, go to our website. You'll find out the details. Sunday at 11, Wednesday at 7. God bless you. We're so glad you've joined us today. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Carol, and Connie on this show. God bless you. Have a great week. And know that he loves you so very much.